Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. TGS 305. Kevin Wheeler's hanging out with us. Another segment. Dave Murray joins us. No, he doesn't. The hell am I doing? He's not on for an hour, right?
Duh.
Ah, screw him. So I said to Kevin in the break, I hope you're never single again.
Because I hope that too.
He was regaling Rachel and I with some of his even less attractive qualities than how he can give great fake apologies.
Yeah.
Can you tell the audience like your listening skills?
Oh, yeah. I have a tremendous ability to hear things but not listen to them. So, like, if I'm on the couch watching, like, if I got a baseball game on, or if I'm on the phone and I'm looking at Twitter or reading a story or whatever, like, my family members, my daughter, my wife, they can talk to me in full sentences and say things that my body hears, but they don't register. And I just keep it, and then I'll notice silence, and I look, and I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
I bet they love that.
Oh, my. If you picked a few of the things that would be detestable about me and asked my wife, I'd have to be one of them, one of the top three.
What percentage of your time at home would you say would fall into this category?
I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, like, this time of year, I'm almost never home, but I would say, I get here at 2 o'clock. I'm going to be home at midnight. You know, I'm going to be, not 2 o'clock, but 2:30. Yeah. And then I'll be coaching all weekend on the baseball. Because, I mean, I'm home, but I'm not home as much as you would, like a normal person would be. I would say the percentage of the smaller time is probably a solid, like 15%.
Fair.
Yeah. Something like that.
You're a man who knows who he is.
I mean, I'm not happy about it. My dad was the same way. We'd be like, dad, 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 dad. And then finally he'd be like, what? Like, how'd you not hear me yelling at you?
My dad. I think all our dads were like that. My dad's move was he would talk to you in monosyllabic grunts from behind the newspaper. You know, like, and he would shake it when he wanted to, like, make a point.
Just, like, leave me alone.
Yeah, like, hey, Dad, Brad Wells is going camping with his family. Can I go this weekend?
So you had the dad from Christmas Story.
Pretty much. Yeah. Very close. Okay, I wanted you to stick around, not only because we love you, but because we were talking about Chrissy Teigen and Marjorie Taylor Greene and forgiving, and I'd never heard this stuff with Wainwright about using a substance. And he's like the modern-day Stan Musial. And so that fascinated me. Then I went back and I researched it, and I found something from you, gosh, years ago, that this had come up with the guy who had manufactured the substance.
Yeah, the Angels Clubhouse guy, Harkins.
Tell us that story. And bring us back to Adam Wainwright, and for the people like me who don't know what's going on, let them know what's going on.
So there was an SI story yesterday, or within the last couple of days, that named a bunch of pitchers that had bought this concoction that an Angels Clubhouse guy had come up with to help guys with their grip, right? It's not just sunscreen and rosin. It was like liquid pine tar and some other like fake pine tar material.
Would it
and
be
some
illegal?
Absolutely. Yes. Anything you put on there, like you can't, the old spitball, you can't like just put your spit on the ball. You can lick your fingers if you're not on the mound, but once you're on the rubber on the mound, you can't go to your mouth. You can't load up the baseball with anything. You're not allowed to put anything on the ball. And in this article, this guy Harkins is suing the Angels. Unless it's been dismissed. So this is where it's all coming out, because he's saying, look, I sold this stuff to guys all over the league. And he named Garrett Cole. He named, I forget who, a couple of other, Justin Verlander, I think. He named Adam Wainwright. So he was in the story. And Wainwright was asked about this last night after his game. Said, did you ever use any of these things? Because you're named in the SI story. And he said, I used that thing that Harkins was making. I ordered it. I bought it. I used it for 6 or 7 games. And It didn't really work, so I just tossed it. I gave it to someone else. That was what happened last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he, I didn't hear it, did Adam Wainwright, being Adam Wainwright, go the extra mile and say, hey, kids, learn from me. Don't try to cheat the game. Or did he just say, like, yeah, here's what happened?
It was definitely more of the matter-of-fact thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was definitely like, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I did it. You know, I'm not proud of it, essentially. You know, he tried to put it in the parameters of how much he did it and whether or not he felt he got any benefit from it. But, yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of similar things happening here in baseball real soon.
How does that hit you? About Wainwright in particular, because he has such a stellar reputation in St. Louis.
It doesn't, because I've assumed so many pitchers were doing this for so many years that it doesn't surprise me. And it didn't surprise me when the Mark McGwire thing came out with steroids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like certain things. I wouldn't have said specifically based on performance, oh, Adam Wainwright's definitely doing that stuff. Because there are a lot of guys that you would think would be that maybe weren't. But when you hear, you could say, name any pitcher. If they said they were doing it, I'd be like, okay. Like, yeah, I believe that, because a huge percentage of them are.
Yeah.
And there's also, based on what players are saying, like pitchers are saying, they're saying it off the record. They're not putting their names to it because they don't want anybody to know that they did it. But a lot of these guys are saying there's a huge difference between these super advanced things and anything that's relatively old school, like pine tar or sunscreen and rosin or anything like that. Like, there's this measurable, notable difference. And you can see it in the demos. I think I told you guys about that spider attack stuff, that it's for power lifters, right? Mm-hmm. It was created so that those world's strongest men competitors could hold the Atlas ball and not drop it on themselves.
Okay.
Like, to enhance their grip. Mm-hmm. And guys can pick up cinder blocks by just putting it on their hand and lifting it. It's a lot like super glue in that regard.
Yeah.
And the, you know, pine tar's not like that. It's not going to give you that same impact. So baseball players will tell you there's a huge gap between those two things.
What do you think it's just the nature of any game. People are going to try to cheat, big, little.
For sure. I mean, I don't think you let it go. I mean, I'm glad baseball's finally figuring out that they need to check for it, because eventually all of these things hurt the sport. All of them do. You know, I mean, like the steroid era, it was entertaining, right? You didn't hear anybody complaining in 1998 when McGwire and Sosa were hitting a bunch of bombs. Now, nobody knew, or nobody quote unquote knew. People maybe were suspicious, but nobody knew what was going on. At least that enhanced the entertainment value of the product.
Yeah.
And this stuff that we're talking about now is actually going the opposite. It's damaging the product and damaging reputation. So,
in your opinion, let's take Mark McGwire in particular, because he was the most famous one, certainly here in St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah.
In your opinion, minus steroids, does Mark McGwire ever break the record?
Probably. I mean, you can look at him when he was young and earlier in his career, before he was as huge as he ended up being. He hit 50 home runs in like two-thirds of a season, or, you know, three-quarters of a season one year when he was hurt. So would it be a definite thing? No. Because a lot of those guys, what they'll tell you, and I don't totally believe this, by the way, because they got bigger and stronger and they knew it. But a lot of it was also about not missing games to injury, right? Because those things will help you recover from like muscle pulls and things along those lines. And McGwire had a lot of injuries earlier in his career, and he felt like those things were going to help him stay healthy. And he'll still, I mean, even in interviews recently, he said, I mean, I didn't need it. I did it because I thought it would help me stay healthy, and that's how it enhanced my performance. And either way, it enhances your performance.
I have another of my famous dumb Dave Glover questions for all three of you. I don't know what was happening. Oh, Rach, I was listening to you on the crossover, and you were talking about The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and all that kind of stuff. And Ryan Record said, yeah, my wife doesn't like me to say that she watches these shows. And you said, oh, yeah, I had to come out of the closet a few years ago how much I enjoy them. And I was in the bathroom, and I thought to myself, here's a question. Is that any dumber than watching sports?
Well, he's going to say, yeah.
I don't know. I got to think about it.
Is your wife going to get mad at your answer?
No. Because, I mean, I don't even know if she watches those shows. She might. But
I could make an argument, but I don't want to do it until you guys
go. No, that's a good point.
But at the same time, even with my argument in favor of sports, they're both made up.
Yeah, I mean, sports, you have to develop a skill over time, and that's obviously very impressive. So there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that. But at the same time, it's not life or death. They're both entertainment sources. So, I mean.
And I would say just as many men, like, they say they don't like to watch The Bachelor, and they say, maybe you guys don't, but they say they don't like to watch Bravo. But if their wife or girlfriend puts it on, they totally get
it. I remember the day it happened for me, and Maureen and Phoebe were watching something years and years ago, and I walked up and I started making fun of it. By the first commercial, I was in.
Yep.
And I watched the rest of the season. I was way more into it than she was. And I had to stop. Because I would have done nothing but watch Andy Cohen all the time.
I would say that I'd put those shows, those are more professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's what
than actual
always
sports.
Used to say.
Now, so again, I think that professional wrestlers are extremely talented people. Like, they put their bodies through hell. They train. They're incredible stuntmen. But it's not an actual competition.
So maybe like
it's heavily edited
show.
And scripted. Right. That's kind of the thing to me is how much are you actually editing all of this stuff? How much of it is, you know, real drama versus, well, we're going to cut this and do that and get that look and do all that. To me, that's the difference. But that may not be what you're talking about. I mean, if you're just talking about, look, sports are entertainment just like anything else, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
That's why I get so upset when people treat it like, you know, a sport is like going to church. It's not. It's an entertainment event.
Yeah.
Or like you said, the guys who would call your call-in show like right after their team won the World Series.
Jerome
like,
in Manhattan.
Well, next year, I just know.
I know they won the World Series, but if Joe Torre thinks he can wait to get another closer.
No. Yeah, that's more than I meant. When people just, I don't like face painters of any ilk. I don't like zealots.
So you don't like clowns?
Oh, God, no. they're just also Baptists. No, just anyone who's that into anything. I can just picture an imaginary couple where the husband says, like, I can't believe you watch that trash. And the wife says, why do you watch every friggin' sporting event and every ESPN update?
It's a fair counterpoint.
I think it's a fair counterpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all some form of entertainment. So, yeah, in that regard, 100%.
What the hell did we do before all this? Like 1,000 years ago. What the hell were we doing? Just guys trying to eat.
That's why everybody was killing each other.
Yeah, trying to eat.
Because all you do is hang out and get mad at each other.
Right.
So back then, he's like, well, there's no DNA or anything, so you're dead, dude.
You're right. our clans probably fought.
I mean, how do you think royalty came to exist? Their ancestors were better at killing people than other people's ancestors. And pretty much it.
All good points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jillian. I'm smart.
You are. You even knew what a muskox was.
I just spent too much time alone in the car to think of things. Driving all the time, going out of town for baseball trips, and I'm like, what am I going to think about this trip?
I love you. You're so weird.
Yep.
I love outing people right. in the media. It's how weird they are. Like what, for example,
all right.
you get in your car and you're heading to Denver tonight.
All right.
What are you thinking about?
It depends. What did I just watch on TV? Something make me mad, something happy.
So are you ever like, ooh, I'm going to save that for my drive?
Everyone, yeah, I do. I do. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to chew
like these
on this
deep thought questions, right? I mean, I got like 6 hours to kill this weekend going to Indianapolis. So, and I got to think of something.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it. Welcome back, guys. DGS 322. Rachel, can you tell everyone how adorable Trish Gazelle is right now?
She's very funny, but I'm sorry I'm distracted because my headphones are just straight up not working for no reason.
Trish is in the...
Stinks whenever you do radio for a living, when you can't hear anything that's going out over the air.
That is tough.
It's kind of a giant bummer.
Want to use mine?
No, it's fine. She's very cute. We were playing this Bee Gees song, and I look up, and she's in the other room with Mike Anderson, just like waving her arms in the air, and I kind of thought she was dancing for a second.
Yeah. No, she's talking to a mortician. She is bound and determined to get a mortician, right, Mike?
I think that's the We Got a Mortician dance.
Okay. All right. She's so invested in this.
We don't have to talk to the mortician.
Don't tell her that. Just give her the win. Yeah, she's freaking out. Rach, do something. What do you got?
Oh, gosh. So I was watching one of my favorite Twitch streams last night, mm-hmm. and we've had people leave our show a couple of times. We've had to roll it out to the audience a couple times now since I've been here. And tuned into the stream, and they were late starting. And as soon as they started, like, the format was different. Like, the way the cameras was set up were different.
Explain everyone what it is.
So Twitch is like a streaming service. It's a website you go to, and you can usually people use it to watch other people play video games. So like people who are really into video games, or this stream that I watch is just like guys being funny and they're playing a game, and it's like a comedy show kind of. So I decided to watch the stream last night. They go live. everything's weird as soon as they start. And it was funny because I could smell it, like being in show business to a certain extent. I'm like, oh, I thought they were going to shut down the whole show. But everyone in the chat was like, hi, guys, you're late, smiley face. And I'm like, no. Something very bad is about to happen. Well, it turns out just one of the guys on the show wanted to step away. He just wants to not be on the internet and not be doing a show anymore and wants to just have a more normal experience, like not constantly trying to create content. And, you know, good for him. If he doesn't want to do it anymore, there's no reason to put yourself out there if you're tired of putting yourself out there. But I got to thinking, there are going to be so many like mid-level entertainers like that you're going to see doing that over the next couple of years. I predict, you know, for the longest time, it's been ramping up and everyone wants to be an influencer and everyone wants to be a content creator and everyone wants to be famous in some way. But I think that it's such a fickle, it's like a dream. And when you get there, like sometimes it's not worth it. If you're making a ton of money, I think it's worth it. But if you're just getting by, but you have to be that vulnerable and you have to be creative and you have to put up with people abusing you online, I think we're just going to see so many people make the choice to walk away from whether it's Twitch, whether it's radio or television or being an influencer or whatever. You're going to see more and more people giving it up. Because the reward is so not worth the risk at this point, mm-hmm. unless you're getting a huge reward.
Yeah.
But if you're just doing it to get by, like people aren't going to do it like for the love of it anymore.
Yeah, I think there are certain people that just love being famous. And once they've been famous, you can tell. Sometimes they're athletes. Sometimes they're Hollywood. And they just can't let it go. And they retire and they unretire. And they retire and they unretire. I hope this doesn't make me sound ungrateful for my career. I certainly am not. But I don't like the fame part. Like the day I hang up my cleats, I'm super happy that I'm no longer famous, even with a lowercase f.
Now, which part? Like walking out on the street
I'm
and
glad
people
you
recognizing
said that.
You or what?
That I love. I love meeting listeners. If you ever see me, come talk to me. People always say the same thing. I just didn't want to bother you. You are not bothering me. You have paid my bills for 21 years. I'm happy to talk to you. Happy. It's all social media. If social media had never existed, it's the greatest job in the world. And especially being down at the old station, it could get really mean, the social media.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It was all about Trump. Do you mm-hmm. love him enough or do you not?
Mm-hmm.
That part, the day that no one gives a rat's ass what I have to say about anything is a good day. For other people, that's their fuel.
Yeah.
They need it. I'm not that person.
I also think that, like, especially me, my generation was taught, like, being famous and being someone that other people look up to in that way, that's the most important thing. Like, there was a shift in television shows and the content that was fed to us. It went from being, like, Dawson's Creek to then it was, like, Hannah Montana, Gossip Girl. There's nothing more important than being famous and being super
and
rich and flexing on people.
It's attainable for a lot of you only because of social media.
Exactly.
Where it used to be, like, it would be a chance in you know where that you would become a star. Now, people are famous for putting up a Snapchat or a YouTube video or having a blog or doing a reality show.
It's
attainable.
I think it's been a lot of people's goals. Just thinking like everything will be great once I reach that level. And more people have reached some form of that level. And then it's happened to me in my life. I always thought like, man, if I could just be on the DGS, everything's going to click into place. No, past 5 years have been great on a professional level, but you still have to deal with all of the crap in your personal life and all of the politics around, you know, doing what we do. So I think more and more people are going to go, I worked so hard for this and now I'm here and it sucks and I just want to go do something
Trish
else.
Trish made a great point. When I was growing up, I of course was unrealistic like every kid. Like I'm going to play for the Cardinals. I'm going to be the next Johnny Carson. But you knew that those people had earned it. You knew that they did something special. And you get to a certain point if you're sane that you go like, oh, I'm not that guy. But now
you can keep trying and you're going to stick at some point.
Yeah,
probably.
American Idol came along.
Yeah.
Everybody can be a singer.
Yeah.
You can just be famous for being a jackass mm-hmm. on YouTube.
Yep.
Anyone. Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334 coming up. We have Dave Murray. We also have a mortician. I've never seen anyone work as hard at anything in radio as Trish did today, getting us a mortician.
Because I said I was going to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got to do
it. Coming through. And then we have Astonishing Legends on for Paranormal Tuesday to talk about The Conjuring and the real story behind The Conjuring. Right now, we have Jim Pettit on from Honor Flight. If you're new to the show, we have built a reputation over the 21 years of doing anything we can for the veterans. COVID last year screwed everything up along with Honor Flight, and they have their first one coming up in August. But I will put the call out there. If you are a part of a veterans organization, big or small, and you would like some coverage, you would like some funds raised, reach out to us. We can't do every single thing, but we need to get back hitting the ground and raising some money and raising awareness for veterans issues. So open door for anyone out there. Hello, Jim. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Dave. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's start out real basic for the people who don't know what Honor Flight is. Let's tell them about it, and then we'll get into how they can help.
Absolutely. The mission of the Greater St. Louis Honor Flight is to take World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War veterans to Washington, D.C. at no charge for a one-day, all-expenses-paid trip to see the memorials that have been built to specifically honor their service and sacrifice, because most of them either physically or financially have not been able to see those memorials on their own.
And Jim, just give us an idea, paint the picture for us. I've had so many gentlemen on the show over the years who've gone, and I cry just watching them tell their story. So tell it on their behalf. What's it like to see these gentlemen actually go and pay tribute to their fallen comrades?
I think that it probably is best explained by saying that almost every veteran that comes back tells us that, with the exception of the day they were married and the birth of their children, it's the very best day of their life. And if you can provide that kind of an emotional mm-hmm. experience to someone that age in 6.5 hours on the ground, then why in the world would you not do it?
I can't. Hi, Jim. It's Trish. I can't imagine them getting there and seeing the memorial, but I have been a part of the welcome home parade when they come back to Lambert. And it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen, because family members are waiting for them. And I mean, there were hundreds of people in there playing music, and there's flags and the national anthem. I mean, I was bawling and they were bawling, but that welcome home parade is pretty special.
Yeah, and that's just the kind of the grand finale about what is a really wonderful day for them. It's a long day. They get to the airport about 3:30 in the morning, and we don't get back here till 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. And when they get on the plane in Washington to come home, they're worn out, and they have no idea that when we get back, there's more. They just think they're going to go home. And so it comes as a kind of a big surprise ending for them. And it's very emotional for them. It's very emotional for us. For those of us who go on the flights, every single time is a joy.
Jim, about how much is it to send one person?
It costs us $650 to take one veteran to Washington. And we are 100% dependent upon donations to exist. And so it's a very expensive proposition. We typically take 220 veterans in a year. And so we're talking about a budget need of about $250,000. And it's a greater expense this year because of the COVID and because of what happened. We were grounded for almost 18 months. We last flew on March the 3rd of last year. And since that time, we have lost several of the veterans who were scheduled to go and whose flights were canceled. We had 60 veterans that we were planning to take when we were grounded. And since that time, somewhere between 8 and 10 of them have passed away. And we are heartsick about that, and we knew that it was likely that that would happen. So what we're going to try to do is to hurry up. We're going to try to take more veterans in a shorter period of time during this season than we normally would have. So where I'm headed with this is that we have decided to charter an airplane and to take all of those seats and use them for veterans and guardians. So instead of taking 22, which is our normal number of veterans, we're going to take 60, and we're going to do it three times in 3 months. And it's very expensive to charter an airplane. So the cost to us is going to be greater than $650 this year, but we just feel like we can't afford to wait. And so we are going to, for the rest of this season anyway, take as many veterans as we can, as quickly as we can.
Sorry just to get into the weeds in this, but I have reasons. About how much is it for one plane trip?
To charter an entire airplane is somewhere in the neighborhood of $90,000 for the day.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah, let's talk off the air. Let's do something together, and let's try to get maybe one of those covered. My audience is by far the most generous. I mean, what we've done with Operation Food Search is ridiculous. And whenever you can put a number on it, remember when Mark and I each bought a cow when Monsignor Ted for Africa. Yeah, we bought a cow. But it's like, okay, it's $900. Okay. And this feeds how many? It feeds a family of 20 for 10 years. When people can wrap their mind around something like that,
yeah.
I think it really helps.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, people could get together and say, 650. I know that's not the number anymore, but 650. Mm-hmm. We could do that as a family. We could do that as a neighborhood. We could do that as a business. And then it's not like adopting a penguin at the zoo, but it's like, I did this. My family did this. My business did this. We made this happen for this person. I think that's the way we do it. Okay, Jim, for the people who right now would like to get involved to help out monetarily or otherwise, how do they do it?
Yes, they should go to our website, and we'd love to have them scroll through there. We have a lot of information, a lot of pictures, a lot of videos. But our website is gslhonorflight.org, and anything that a person wants to do for us or with us is on that site. You can make a donation. You can sign up a veteran to go, and you can see pictures and videos of all the flights that we've taken in the past.
Super cool. All right, Jim, we'll talk this week, and we'll get something going.
That'd be great. I appreciate it very much. The veterans certainly do, and we're on our way. We're thrilled to death to be able to start back up.
That's great. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave and Trish.
Oh, that breaks my heart that people passed away. Mm-hmm. During COVID when they're going
to
go.
And if anyone can go to the Welcome Home Parade. So when you go to their website, I think it's such a cool thing to do with your kids, just to show them, here are these veterans that fought in this war. They just came back from seeing the memorial. I mean, it's really special. It really is.
Yeah, that's super cool. Thanks for setting that up. I appreciate it. Coming up at 4 p.m., we have Dave Murray. 5 p.m., we have the boys from Astonishing Legends talking about the true story behind The Conjuring. Right now, we have Trish's Trash. Trish?
Bands, how did they get their name? I always like little facts like this. Nickelback. So they were originally called the Village Idiots. And so it was Chad Kroeger. His brother Mike was in the band, and then his cousin was too. Well, his brother Mike used to work at a Starbucks. And he would always go, here's your Nickelback. Like, wow. Here,
and he
man,
was like,
here's
whoa.
Your Nickelback. That's a good band
Is
name.
Chad Kroeger of the Kroeger family?
I think it's spelled different.
Okay. I was like, if this guy came from like a grocery empire, I'm going to be so mad.
I don't think there's an E in Kroeger, right? Like K-R-O-E-G-E-R. I think it's, yes, there is.
There's no E in the grocer.
And there is. And
okay. Okay.
All right.
We figured that one out.
Whew, I feel better.
Question.
Yeah.
Who is, like, the Village Idiots is a stupid name. There'd be a great name for, like, a joke band, but who is the most successful band ever with a ridiculous name? Of course, Beatles, stupid. Rolling Stones, stupid. But I mean, like, a dumb name like that.
Mm. Bare Naked Ladies. Mm.
Good one. Good one. Yep.
Mm, I don't know.
Okay, thanks for playing.
I'm trying to think of a really dumb name. Well, how about Led Zeppelin?
Let it go. You can let it go. That's fine. Move on.
Okay, Led Zeppelin picked up their name because Keith Moon suggested a supergroup with him, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page, and that it would go down like a Led Zeppelin.
I like that.
Rolling Stones, Brian Jones was on the phone with a promoter and didn't really have a name or a cool name. And so he looked down at Muddy Waters record, Rolling Stone, and then changed it. Rolling Stones, and then put a G on it.
Mm-hmm.
Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green titled a song Fleetwood Mac after Mick Fleetwood and John McVie. And then he decided it would make a good band name.
Isn't it weird? Like Rach was just talking about little baby Blair, 18 months old. And now the thought of her name being Helen is stupid. Like, Phoebe is clearly a Phoebe. She's not anything else. And, like, just thinking of a band that you like being named something different.
Was she supposed to be Helen?
No. We didn't know if Blair. So, Blair is my niece. And my brother and sister-in-law waited until she was born to find out the gender. So we had no idea what the baby's name was going to be. So it was like, oh, baby Blair. Like, Blair wasn't in my mind. Yeah. I just never thought of that name. I love the name. But now that she's been here for a year and a half, it's like, well, yeah, she's Blair. Duh.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't have been a Carrie or, you know, something else.
Well, like, Phoebe was going to be Haley Lane. Because my great-grandma who raised my dad was Granny Haley. And we were decided on it. That was it.
Haley Lane.
And I was downstairs getting a cheeseburger when the lady from the county came to take the official name. And Maureen said, how many Haleys are there? She's like, there's 10 on the floor right now. She goes, how many Phoebes? She said, haven't had one in like a month. And she went with Phoebe.
And you were all for it?
No, but she's the mom, and she...
That's the way it went.
She did all the hard work, so I'm like, okay. But now she's clearly not a Haley.
Yeah, couldn't be anything else. Yeah. You're a Dave.
Had you talked about Phoebe before that? Was it like, was it in the mix?
I think it had been raised. I'm a real flower girl name. Violet.
Rose.
Yeah.
Lily.
Yeah, I just loved those. And so I kept going back to those. Those were my backups.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be a boy. I have three older sisters, so they had Nicholas picked out. And then when I was born and I was a girl, they didn't have a name. So they named me after my mom. So we have the same name.
Oh, that's cool.
And your name's actually Patricia.
Yeah, we all have A's. Pamela, Krista, Linda, Patricia.
I didn't know your name was Patricia.
What's your middle name?
Ann.
Patricia Ann.
She's Patricia Ann. Mary, so I'm technically not a junior, but
gotcha.
Same thing. All right, so there's this new show on Netflix today, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' opinion on this because, you know, Headspace, the app, the meditation app.
Mm-hmm.
So this TV show is called Headspace Unwind Your Mind on Netflix, but it's an interactive adventure show, so you have to pick your own adventure for meditation and relaxation exercises and bedtime stories. It sounded like more work and anxiety. Like, which one do I choose?
I get that.
And then, you know, you have to turn your TV off.
They've had one for meditation and for sleep up on Netflix for a while. And I tried watching it and it was kind of like that. It was like, oh, I kind of wanted to just put this on and zone out and have it be something calm and cozy. But you're making me think.
Yeah. That doesn't sound attractive to me.
Yeah.
I love like calm. I love the calm stories. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole section on trains. And I'll just go like, what train ride do I want to take tonight?
I'm like, if I want to get mindful and like have a meditation, the last thing I'm going to want to do is sit in front of my television screen to achieve that.
Yeah, and pick
it
options.
Seems counterproductive. Yeah. Like go outside and and really clear your mind instead of just turning to a screen for yet, you know, another thing. Like
agreed.
I feel like I have to say this next story because everyone is going crazy about it. J-Lo and Ben kissed in public.
I saw, yeah. I don't know why I'm so into this, but
I heard that Who is she? A-Rod? Is that who she was engaged to?
Yeah.
He's back with his wife already.
Well, wait, yes. And then he was seen with someone else. Oh, he was seen in Katie Holmes' apartment building, whatever that means. Because people are tracking them. Like, what are Ben and J-Lo doing? This is how it was the first time around when they dated. And now it's every move they make. And they were kissing in public. And people are think they're just putting on a show. I don't know.
I don't know. I want it to be real, and I can't even explain to you guys why I want it to be real. I guess it's because they were like the hot couple back in the day.
So you like them together the first time around?
I remember being like, oh, okay, this is cool.
So I was pretty annoyed by them.
You didn't like them?
No, but now I'm kind of rooting for it.
I hope they're not doing it for any reason other than they really like each other, because that's really crappy to your family.
Right, and stupid. Yeah.
Like, hey, let's pretend to be in a relationship and have the whole world care. And yet we're not, and we'll really put one over on our kids.
Not really in a relationship. Yeah.
Well, neither of them had kids with, like, Ben and Jennifer Gardner have been divorced for a long time. And then J-Lo and A-Rod didn't have kids.
But
and
they have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was cheating on her for, like, the entire relationship.
A-Rod?
Yeah.
With Madison from Southern
Charm?
That's
the rumor. Is that he was always, like, sliding into DMs and, like, J-Lo just got to the point where she's like, I can't do this anymore.
Who, Madison? What'd you see about her?
She got married.
We're on first name basis with the star of Southern Charm.
I think it's LaCroix.
Which maybe seven listeners have seen.
Madison LaCroix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.